I've always loved the honesty in the Bible. Just the honest way it's kind of written. Don't you love that self-effacing writing of John? The one whom Jesus loved. The one who got there first. He just likes to make that point, doesn't he? But it just shows the humanity of it all. Last week, in the newsletter and in the teaching last Sunday, I was talking about how important it is that we walk Holy Week, that we understand everything that took place between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, in order that the glory of Easter Sunday is not diminished, in order that the sacrifice that Christ went through on the cross is not diminished. And when we hear these words of the resurrection, an account we've probably heard many, many times, there's a danger also that if we're not careful, we lose the magnitude of what was going on. And so I just want to pop it into context a little bit. Jesus is dead. The disciples saw him die. The followers of Jesus saw him die. The Roman soldiers knew he was dead. They signed him off as dead. That's why they didn't smash his legs up with an iron bar. Because he was already dead. There was shock. There was devastation. There was despair. What is going on? What's the last 3 years been about? How can this Messiah have ended up like this? Just do not understand. Because Jesus was dead. There were no Christians because there was no Christ. There's no hope because Jesus isn't there anymore. Nobody was expecting this. And there is nobody stood outside the tomb counting down from 10 expecting a great surprise. He's dead. And then comes Sunday. God of surprises bursts in, changes everything, and the whole history of the world changes at that point. There's no reason that they were struggling to comprehend what was going on, moving from one extreme of emotions to the other. Jeremiah, in that Old Testament prophecy, speaks of this new age that is to come. Luke, as he's writing up the account of the Acts of the Apostles, speaks of the power that is now in this new age. And John is recording the opening events of that new age. And there are three principal characters in our gospel reading this morning. Mary, Peter and John. And I just want to take a little look at each of them and see what they speak to us about our own nature and how we deal with things. Because Mary arrives first and she gets there and she sees that the stone has been rolled aside and that the tomb entrance is open. She doesn't go any further. She then rushes back to the rest of the disciples and she just says that they've taken the body away and we don't know where it's gone. She's jumping to conclusions. She hasn't investigated. She's just jumping to conclusions. Now, how many times do you or do the people that you know with regards to issues of faith of the church jump to conclusions without properly investigating the reality? And then what they think is truth becomes their reality. Peter, impulsive Peter, isn't he just great? Bang, straight into the tomb. He says he rushes in. But as he gets in, he can't work out what's happening. He sees the shroud there. He sees the burial cloths there. And he's looking around and he just can't connect it. What is going on? And then he leaves, confused. I wonder how many times have you, or have people that you know, over issues of faith or the church, come to conclusions and look and think as they go in, and they've got all these questions that need answering, but they don't hang around long enough to get them answered. And then there's John, the first, who beats Peter. But he's outside the tomb. He's outside looking in. He's intrigued, but he's cautious. How many times have you, or people you know, looked in on issues of faith and the church, intrigued, but not taking a step of commitment? Not being prepared to go in and commit to what is going on. In his defense, John then turns though, doesn't he? And he does go in. And when he makes that decision to discover for himself, Jesus, what is going on? He says, doesn't he, in that record there, and then he believed. See, the important bit about that is no one ever became a Christian on the back of somebody else's experience. It's got to be a personal experience, a personal encounter with the risen Christ, putting our trust and our faith in him. The personal encounter. And then Peter and John go back. And Mary's left there on her own. And she's looking towards the tomb. And we can only begin to imagine what is going through her head and how she's feeling. And then she hears this voice behind her. But she doesn't turn around because she's actually too preoccupied with things of the world rather than things of heaven. God himself is talking behind her. But she's focusing on what is in front. She's focusing on the world. And she's staring into, in the end, what the world can offer. At the end of life, what the world offers is death and a tomb. But Christ is offering something very, very different. And he's talking, and she doesn't recognize it. She hears this voice, but she doesn't hear the Lord in it. Until Jesus calls her by name. And then she turns. And it's then that those things start to happen. She realizes what is going on. And there is Jesus in front of her. Every single one of us has a call from God. A personal, named call from God to discover who he is. To discover the power of the risen Jesus in our own lives. But we need to make it that personal response. And to say yes. And to meet that risen Christ. A new age has begun. There is Christ before them. Before Mary, And then he appears on numerous occasions after that. There are 10 recorded occasions in Scripture where Christ appeared to others that are written down. And on one occasion, over 500 people all in one go. And they talked about it. And it was written down. And those are only the ones that we know about that have survived that test of time. First-hand witness accounts. Jesus' life is worth sharing because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, Jesus' life is worth sharing. Now, I can't claim that those wonderful words are my own. But they're so good, I'll say them again. Jesus' life is worth sharing because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, Jesus' life is worth sharing. The resurrection changed everything. It transformed their lives. It changes everything. It changes defeat into victory. It changes death into life. But what does that mean for you and for me today? It means this. That when we put our trust in Jesus, the risen Jesus, as our personal Saviour, our eternal destiny is secured. But it also means that life now suddenly becomes really worth living. Because we are free. Free because of everything that Jesus has done. Free to stand before the throne of God. And it means this. It means because of the resurrected Christ, nothing but nothing is more important. Nothing but nothing has more power than the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever challenges we face, whatever fears we encounter, whatever disappointments cross our path, they are not greater than the name of Jesus Christ. And when we are struggling, go back to that and claim that sovereignty of the risen Jesus over that situation. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of a resurrected Jesus. It changed the lives of those followers of Jesus. Nothing was the same ever again for them. Their lives transformed. In fact, the rest of their lives were put at risk in order to tell others about what had just gone on, about the wonder. Billions of people since have met the risen Christ. Billions of people alive today testify to having met the risen Christ. And we're among them, are we? The resurrected Jesus changes everything. And because of that, we should be able to go out of that door with a little in our step. Actually, as Christians, that's how we should be every day, isn't it? No matter what's going on, we can be real with God when we're having tough times. Of course we can. But because of Jesus' resurrection, nothing can hold us down. In everything that really matters, we have the victory through him. As Christians, we are Easter people. As Christians, it's Easter day every day. But enough good to mark it out, isn't it? So when you eat your Easter eggs today and there's nothing in the middle, Don't go, where's my quality street? When there's nothing in the middle, you should be celebrating. Because that is testifying that there was nothing in the tomb. The tomb was empty. Because Christ is risen. And he changes everything. Hallelujah.